Ilana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Irene. It's great to be here.
Yeah, love the cookies. Thank you.
Thank you.
We all love them here. Now, let's start at the very beginning. You say that you and your son were diagnosed with celiac disease. Now, I've got a lot of friends who say, oh, I eat gluten-free. And I don't know if they're eating gluten-free because they have to or because they want to, because I got to tell you, all my gluten-free friends are nice and thin. They look very, very shapely. So what is celiac disease and how did this force you to change your whole mindset?
Well, celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder where the body is damaged by eating gluten. And gluten is a substance found in wheat, rye, and barley.
Wow.
My son and I were diagnosed with celiac disease when I was pregnant with my oldest son. That was 12 years ago. And it didn't have a big impact on me other than I was very relieved to know what was wrong with me. I was so sick I could barely get out of bed.
Sick like what? I mean, you were pregnant, so pregnant people get sick. But I mean, they feel sick. I mean, they throw up and do that sort of thing. So how did you know this was something different than like pregnancy symptoms?
My whole system just wasn't working and I had extreme fatigue and exhaustion. And it's a great question, Irene, because even though celiac disease is a gut disorder, it is a multi-organ system disease. And so there can be any kind of symptoms. And when people are diagnosed, it can often take as long as 9 years and several doctors to receive a diagnosis.
Well, let me ask you, had you been ill before? I mean, did this like was a sudden onset kind of thing?
It was a sudden onset. With any type of genetic disorder, you can have the genes lying dormant for a number of years. For me, it was 30 years. And then all of a sudden, some type of traumatic event will cause the gene to turn on. And pregnancy can be a traumatic event for some. A car accident can prelude celiac disease for some people.
Wow. Ilana Amsterdam, our guest, her book is The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, and that's what we're talking about. But this is how she started. So she decided that she decided she was too sick to sort of say it was pregnancy. And then she went to a doctor, and the doctor diagnosed her with celiac disease and also her son, the baby, I guess, that you were having at the time, huh?
My son wasn't diagnosed till he was 3 years old. And while I had mentioned that I was merely relieved when I received my diagnosis to know exactly what was wrong with me, I was much more concerned when my son was diagnosed. And I wanted to make sure he didn't miss out on all the foods that I had growing up.
So that's when you started kind of looking at what the alternatives are, right?
Yes, that's when I made it my mission to turn all of my favorite recipes into gluten-free classics.
Now, what was your background? Were you like a chef or?
No, actually, I am an entrepreneur, and I had an environmental consulting company in New York City where I set up recycling programs for Fortune 500 companies.
Oh, well, that's quite a quite a step, moving to Colorado, moving to Boulder, and starting a gluten-free almond flour cookbook. It's a little bit different. Let's then talk about the cookbook. We know about you and how you came to it. Almond flour, and this is mainly baking in this book, because and the challenge is always that cooking is different. Cooking is you put a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you mix it around. If you add a little more of this or a little less of this, no one's going to know. But when you do baking, that's like chemistry.
Yes.
And if you don't have the right stuff, it'll end up runny or gooey or totally inedible.
Exactly.
So how did you know to start with almond flour? What is almond flour? Perhaps that should be the question as well.
That is a great question, Irene. Almond flour is simply blanched almonds that are ground and put through a really fine sieve by the manufacturer so that their consistency is very similar to cake flour.
Wow. You know, I've ground my own almonds and made sort of a pie crust out of those almonds. Can you grind your own almond flour or no?
You can grind your own. In a lot of Passover recipes, you find ground nuts. There's a long culinary tradition of using ground nuts in desserts, especially in Europe. For these recipes, it's much better to buy blanched almond flour. First of all, it's just questionable that you're going to get the same consistency that you will from something that's professionally made. Second of all, it will take you longer to grind your own almond flour than it will to make the cookies and chicken parmesan and pancakes that are
in the bowl. When I did the ground almonds. I think it was almonds. I can't remember, but I'm almost sure it was almonds. When I did those in the food processor, they were really kind of gluey together mm-hmm. and oily. So I'm thinking, and when we think of flour, we think of sifty-sifty. So I'm thinking that the manufacturer must do something to make it sifty rather than oily.
Well, when you're grinding it in the food processor, you're getting up to a high heat, which is releasing the oils, and you run in the risk, if you're going to make your own almond flour, of creating an almond butter or a paste. So a lot of things can go awry.
And that's not too bad either.
Not too bad, but it's not going to work to make the chocolate cake with marshmallow frosting on the front of my book.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. Ilana Amsterdam is our guest. We've been talking about celiac disease. She discovered when she was pregnant with her son, her oldest child, that she had this. And it suddenly happened. And, you know, it took a long time to diagnose it because it mirrors a lot of other things. You just get tired. You've got sort of symptoms that could be anything. But finally, she was diagnosed. Her son was diagnosed. And she decided that she was going to take this on full force and learn all about it and then teach other people about how you could eat. I did say that we got a box of cookies here at the radio station last week, which were absolutely yummy. Not only that, but the smell when we opened the box, and I'm sure it was the smell of almonds, was just so enticing. Our mouths were all watering. Now, she does have a website, and the website is ilanaspantry.com, and that's E-L-A-N-A-S. pantry.com. She's got gluten-free recipes. She's got new recipes. She's got frequently asked questions. She's got all kinds of stuff that you will need to know to cook this way. And as I mentioned, all of my friends who eat gluten-free are nice and thin, and that's really a good reason to think about maybe removing some gluten from your life. It must be something that in the gluten that makes us a little bit chubby. well, you know, I'm sure back in the day, and we're talking thousands of years ago, being chubby was a good thing.
Being thin was
probably not a good thing because you could die.
Evolutionary
but if you were
strategy.
Fat, then you had cushion
yes,
against bad times.
Yes.
You know? And so maybe flour, and et cetera. I mean, I'm at my 5-second theory. I'm known for my 5-second theories, which can be proven wrong, certainly. Now, when you go on Ilana's website, she's got her tagline is organic gluten-free recipes and tips for good living, changing the way America eats one cupcake at a time. Now, inside this book, you do have cakes and cupcakes and some really, really good recipes. Tell us a little bit about them. Do you want me to pass you the book?
Oh, sure.
No? Okay, here we go. You take the book and then you can do that. What is that cake on the cover of the book?
The cake on the cover is a chocolate cake with marshmallow frosting.
Ooh,
and what I love about this cake is that you're using high-protein almond flour, low glycemic agave, which I use in all of my sweet recipes. And then you've got dark chocolate cacao powder, which is rich in antioxidants. So the cake is packed with nutrients. And then I feel good when I'm giving my children that kind of dessert. I know that I'm not spiking their blood sugar and giving them empty calories.
Do you want to eat less of that cake? I mean, if I were to look at that cake and you were to give me a slice, would I just be happy with one slice and be done because I had so much protein and the nice agave sweetener and the cacao powder, and that would just satisfy whatever it is that I needed to satisfy?
That's a fabulous question, Irene. I think the benefit, and you're naming one of them, with eating almond flour is that there's a satiation factor when you're eating products made with almond flour. When you're eating products made with wheat flour and white sugar, you are spiking your blood sugar, and it goes way up. And when it goes down, you basically have to eat more of the sugary product that you just spiked your blood sugar and that you came down from. It's like an addiction. When you're eating almond flour products, there's a nice rich fat in there. It's a good fat that lowers bad cholesterol and raises good cholesterol, and it also is very satiating.
Wait a minute. It lowers bad cholesterol and raises good cholesterol?
Yes. Almond flour is full of good fat.
Who knew that? Well, I guess you did, but now all of us know that. You're looking actually in there for a cupcake recipe, are you?
Oh.
Or are you looking for that chocolate cake recipe?
Or
are you just flipping through the book?
I was just flipping through.
That's good, too. She gets distracted by her own book.
I mean,
that's really a good thing.
I like the pictures. It's like a picture book for adults, someone said.
And it's good to have a picture with each recipe because every cook, every chef wants to know how it's going to look when you're done.
Yes.
I mean, I really get upset when cookbooks give you recipe after recipe after recipe.
Yes.
And then in the center somewhere, they have some pictures.
Yes.
That is so annoying because you need to have right there. I want to know once I pull it out of the oven and slap that marshmallow frosting on it, that it will look like the cover or some reasonable facsimile.
Yes. I insisted when I was writing the book with my publisher, Random House 10-Speed Press, that the pictures are across from the recipes, that they match. I don't like having 10 pictures in the middle that say page 42, page 96. I can't work that way either.
I'm so glad that you're the same way. And so what are you looking for in there?
I'm looking at the chocolate cake right now, which has another full page picture. And we can talk about the frosting,
Let's talk about the frosting.
Yeah, I call that my marshmallow frosting, and it is egg white and agave. Two ingredients, and it's
so easy. Tell us about agave. Agave is one of the, because I was going to ask you, besides almond flour, and you suggest actually that we buy it online, because you're saying that if we go to a health food store, and you know, God bless them, if we want it tomorrow, we best go to the health food store and get it. But if we want to pay less, we need to order it online. And so we have our almond flour. We've ordered it online. It comes.
Yes.
And how long does it keep, and how do you keep it?
I keep mine in the freezer for about a year.
Oh.
And I just wanted to take a step back about why I do recommend ordering the almond flour online. It's probably twice as good quality when you get it online, and it's about a third to a quarter of the price.
Wow.
So
what do you attribute that to? I mean, the quality? I mean,
There's just more variety online. There's probably six brands online that I like to order from, and there's more competition, and there's just a lot of good product online.
Okay, so we got that. We can either buy locally or we can buy online, either
right.
one. And then what other ingredients? We've been talking about agave, but what is agave?
Agave nectar comes from basically a cactus. Agave is a cactus-like plant. It's where you get tequila.
Tequila, yes, I was thinking.
And agave is a low glycemic sweetener, and it's my go-to sweetener because people say you can use, if you're substituting agave for sugar, that you can use 3/4 the amount of agave. So you'd use 3/4 cup of agave for 1 cup of sugar.
But sugar is a powder and agave, I think, is a liquid, yeah?
Well, sugar is actually considered a wet ingredient in recipes because you usually cream it with the butter in traditional recipes, so it melts. And so it's very similar to using agave in my recipes because I'm not that interested in consuming a lot of sweets because I don't do well with a lot of sweet, whether it's agave, maple syrup, white sugar, whatever. I end up cutting that ratio down usually to about 1/4 the amount of sugar as you would find in, say, the chocolate chip cookie recipe in The Joy of Cooking. If there's 1 cup of sugar in there, I'll probably take about 1/4 cup in my recipe.
So you've tested all this, so we know it's going to work.
I've tested everything 10 or 12 times.
Of course you have. I mean, I tested
and we gave all the test results to the neighbors, and then when they were stock full with all my tested recipes, the children had bake sales on the corner of our street because we had so much overflow.
Ilana Amsterdam, by the way, is our guest. The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook is the book we're talking about. She calls it family-friendly, and it's almond flour. They're almond flour-based recipes that are easy to make. They're nutritious, and I can actually tell you they are very, very tasty and very filling. Ilana bribed me a little bit. We already had the interview scheduled, but this little package arrived in the mail, and the package had in it, these wonderful chocolate chip cookies that we all ate here at the studio. But the moment that we opened the box, and this was from Hello. This was the from Hello part. The moment we opened the box, you could smell this fabulous, fabulous smell, and it just was such a tasty smell. I think it was the almond flour I was smelling, but everything else in it was delicious. So I can tell you that they really are tasty. You don't have to take sugar. Well, if you take sugar out, you don't have to take the flavor out. And I think that the testament to that is the cookies that you sent. Now, agave, we're talking about almond flour you have to have in your pantry. You can get it online or locally.
Yes.
You need agave nectar?
Yes.
Does that come in a little can or come in a little plant?
It comes in a little bottle. You can buy it at the health food store or online.
But so you have that. And what else should we have in our pantry?
Well, my third favorite ingredient is grapeseed oil because a lot of people that are diagnosed with celiac disease or gluten intolerant cannot digest dairy. So I wanted to give these recipes universal appeal. I want them to appeal to the people with no food allergies, such as yourself, that means they need to taste good enough and then be healthy enough for people with a dairy allergy, wheat allergy, gluten allergy, etc. So the goal with the book is that people can break bread again with their loved ones.
And what is the grapeseed oil? Is that what you just said?
Grapeseed oil,
What does a grapeseed oil have? It comes from the seeds of the grapes, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's where all the seedless grapes come from. They are the seeds that go to make the oil. So the grapeseed oil is pressed in when people are making wine or however they do it.
And what I love about grapeseed oil is that it has a nice, rich, buttery flavor. When you got those cookies, when I eat the cookies, to me, they taste like they have butter in them. I don't know that they're dairy-free. And that is what grapeseed oil does. It makes baked goods very moist.
So we're having almond flour, agave nectar, and grapeseed oil. What else do we need to go out? Because we have to go out and buy this. Most of us don't have this right now.
Well, basically, it's those three ingredients. And if you look at my chocolate chip cookie recipe, it's those three ingredients plus salt and baking soda and then dark chocolate chips. I usually buy Dagoba, but you can buy any brand. I like a high cacao content because, as I mentioned before, dark chocolate is rich in antioxidants.
How high? I mean, how can you tell what the cacao content is on something? Does it say?
Yes. Any good I like organic chocolate. You don't have to use organic, but any good chocolate will list the cacao content. The Dagoba that I'm using is anywhere from 68 to 73%. Once you get much higher than that, it's going to be tough to get children to enjoy those treats.
They're just too dark? They're too much of a dark chocolate?
Well, if you have baker's chocolate that has no sugar in it and it's just 100% cacao, then it's very bitter. Well, and then we're not enjoying that flavor so much as being overwhelmed by it.
The last time I think I actually ate baker's chocolate is when I was a child.
Yes.
Because it smelled so good.
Yeah, and then you sneak into the pantry and you take a bite and then, what is that?
Yeah, and it's bad and it tastes terrible and there you are. So that's a bad thing.
Yep.
In case you've just joined us, we're talking with Ilana Amsterdam. She's written a book called The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. And if you go on her website, and I noodled around on her website and actually copied off some recipes that I thought were just really super. There are new recipes on her website. She talks about her cooking classes, which she has from time to time. She talks about where she's signing books. And there are Q&A. There, you know, some of the questions that we talk about now, you'll forget what the answer was, or perhaps we're not asking the questions that you want to have asked. You can ask her on her website. And her tagline is organic, gluten-free recipes and tips for good living. So she has other tips for good living. And she wants to change the way America eats one cupcake at a time. Now, we're talking about cupcakes. It's the second time we brought cupcakes up. So tell us what the secrets are of your cupcake recipes.
Oh, I think,
and you're looking at that right now.
I think the secret of any cupcake is the frosting.
Again, is
I like the frosting.
Do you do marshmallow all the time for frosting
or
no?
I have a cream cheese frosting in here, a chocolate frosting. I actually have some of that chocolate frosting left over in the refrigerator from Passover, and it is great between little cookies. And you can see the carrot cake here has classic carrot cake.
I can see it, but why don't you describe it?
So this is a carrot cake that uses almond flour, salt, and baking soda, three of my standard ingredients, and then cinnamon and nutmeg, delicious flavors for any carrot cake. And then we've got the grapeseed oil and agave, some eggs, and then just carrots, raisins, and walnuts.
Wow,
and then we frost
really
that
good
with cream cheese frosting, and it's delicious.
Oh, that sounds really good. Do you put little carrots on the top?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that next time, Irene. I like that a lot.
We're talking with Ilana Amsterdam. She's written for a lot of publications, so the Denver Post, Delight Magazine. She's also written for Working Women. She's also written for the Wall Street Journal. She's appeared on CNN and MSNBC, and she's a real popular food writer. She's a popular blogger. She's a very popular cooking teacher. Go on her website, because I think you need to do that. If you're enjoying the show, go on Ilanaspantry.com. That's ElanasPantry.com. And you'll find recipes, you'll find remedies, you'll find just her chatting about what she's found that's new, things that are not in the cookbook. But I think you'll probably want to get a copy of the cookbook. I've had a good time going through it and can't wait to buy the ingredients and get started. So you can go on Ilanaspantry.com to get all of that information. Now, many of us understand about substitutions, substituting one thing for another because we've been doing it for years or because, you know, there's something in the back of our cookbook that tells us that. Mm-hmm. If we don't have some of the major ingredients that are necessary for your recipes, what can we use for something? I mean, what can we substitute for, say, the agave nectar? Is there something?
You know, a lot of people on my website have tried substituting maple syrup, honey, for the agave nectar.
With some success or no?
You know, I think anytime you're substituting, you're changing you mentioned that baking is more of chemistry and science. And so anytime you're substituting, it might take a couple tries. Some of the recipes in this cookbook, I had to test 12 times before I got them to the point where I was happy and my husband was happy with them and my children. Children are the best taste testers.
They are. Actually, yeah. Husbands will eat anything, but children will tell you the truth.
I don't have that husband. He spit things out that I've made before, which is what I usually say about child taste testers.
They're really honest.
What I love about almond flour is the taste. And I think anytime you're giving people healthy food, you have to give them something that looks good and tastes good. And then the second thing is it's really easy to use. You can see my chocolate chip cookie recipe has only 7 ingredients. And someone on Amazon called my baking recipes a quick and dirty dump and stir affair.
Wow.
Luckily, they gave me a 5-star review with that. So I think they meant it in a good way.
I think it sounds like in a good way. Most of us want to do that quick and dirty dump and stir affair because we don't have time for Julia Child these days.
I don't have time. My children, I have 2 boys. They're 10 and 11. They're doing their homework. I'm trying to make dinner. I want to test a batch of cookies. I need to be able to just kind of throw things in a bowl, mix it, put them on a baking sheet, throw them in the oven. And I'm making recipes for busy people because I'm a busy person.
Yes, you are.
So the taste and then the ease of use and then finally the nutrition profile of almond flour. Now, I don't tell that to my family when I'm serving them these desserts, but the nutrition profile of almond flour is outstanding.
You said already that that almond flour, baking things with almond flour can actually lower cholesterol, eating them, can lower bad cholesterol and raise good cholesterol. And I think that's really quite a marvelous thing. Oh, you're handing me something here.
I'm giving you the book.
Oh, the comparison of nutritional values of almond flour, white wheat flour, and rice flour. So you see, almond flour has 21 grams of protein. And you're comparing the same weight of something, 19.4 carbohydrates, and minus 1, I guess, on the glycemic index.
Yeah, I think where the numbers really stand out, Irene, is if you compare the carbohydrate amount of, say, wheat flour to almond flour.
Yeah.
Almond flour is much lower in carbohydrates than wheat flour, and it has 4 times as much protein as wheat flour.
Yeah, I mean, it's wheat flour, let's say, is 9.71 and almond flour is 21.94.
Right.
And these are numbers that, you know, perhaps people don't really care about, but you can look at them, and they're right at the front of the book. You call almond flour a superfood.
It is a superfood.
And you back that up with a bunch of facts, which is good.
And it's what I enjoy when I have friends over that are not gluten-free. I'm actually feeding them something that's healthier than the standard fare that they would be eating. So they don't know that they're getting a superfood, but I do. And that makes me happy when I'm serving friends and family and loved ones.
Ilana Amsterdam, our guest, the gluten-free almond flour cookbook is what we're talking about. Breakfast entrees and more she has in this book. Now, I was talking about mainly the baking, but I've got to tell you there's some stuff in here like turkey burgers and Thai fish cakes and black bean burgers and other things, eggplant parmigiana, things that are not particularly baking, although some baking may be involved. Now, I wanted to ask you too about you use sea salt in your recipes. The sea salt is kind of large, almost like kosher salt, isn't it? Kind of largish like that or no?
I use finely ground sea salt when I'm making cookies and treats and desserts because you don't want to end up with those little boulders of salt in your cookie. That's not a good flavor.
Yeah.
And then I use a more coarsely ground salt when I'm making the chicken pot pie or the salmon dill burgers.
And so that the coarsely ground salt kind of goes in there and it goes in there pretty well and no one notices. But for the you can get it finely ground or do you grind it yourself?
Oh, you can get it finely ground. The good thing about my book is that I describe all of the key ingredients in the front and where you can get them and how to use them and why I like to use them.
Now, I guess a lot of people would ask when looking at this book, is it a vegetarian cookbook?
No, it's not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegetarian. There are all of the cookie recipes actually are vegan. I don't use eggs in my cookie recipes, which another benefit of that is you don't have to worry when you're eating the batter about raw eggs.
Because everybody loves to eat cookie.
You have to eat the cookie dough.
Yeah, you really have to do
and that.
And that
was one of my criteria in making my chocolate chip cookies. I wanted to be able to eat the dough the way I did when I was a girl and I used to make the Toll House recipe.
Well, you know, I have a friend who actually makes cookies just to eat the dough. I mean, that's her sort of main thing.
I like that.
We're talking with Ilana Amsterdam, and her newest book is The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. It's in paperback, so it's very inexpensive. She's a food writer. She's a cooking teacher. And when she and her son were both diagnosed with celiac disease, which makes you gluten intolerant, or actually makes you sick when you eat things with gluten, which are sort of, wheat has a lot of gluten, and rice has gluten, and barley.
No, not rice. Rye
and barley.
Yeah.
Okay, got it right this time. Thank you for your correction. And she has a website you need to go on to if you are interested in this. And the website is ilanaspantry.com, ilanaspantry.com. Let me just read you again this, her tagline right underneath her picture. And she's standing right in her pantry. She's got a lot of canned goods and stuff behind her. It looks like, you know, she looks like a pioneer woman, except a beautiful pioneer woman. Organic gluten-free recipes and tips for good living, changing the way America eats one cupcake at a time. Now, in the few minutes that we have left, would you just talk about what you're working on next? I mean, are you doing a new cookbook that has more recipes, or what's happening within your life besides teaching? Because we said you teach,
uh-huh,
and you do book tours, and uh-huh. You know, what are you doing next?
I write a few recipes every week, and I think mostly that's because I don't like to eat the same food over and over again, and neither does my family. So I'm always putting new recipes up on my website and developing new recipes for potential future books. I have a book signing coming up in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, book signings in Boulder, Colorado all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have book signings in Boulder, Colorado, and all around the country. And I'm just developing recipes as quickly as I can to keep my family satisfied,
and to keep all of your fans happy. I think, how many people visit your blog every? I mean, you give it's a huge number, a huge,
right,
huge
right
number.
Now it's about 98,000 unique
so
visitors
amazing.
Per month. We haven't broken into 100,000, but it looks like we're at the
close.
Tipping point.
and the gluten-free recipes that you have here are really, really good for anyone. I mean, I really like chocolate espresso power bars. That was just a couple weeks ago you had that on
yes.
there.
Yes, I like those too because they have a combination of vanilla, chocolate, and ground espresso bean, which is just delicious
that'll
together.
That'll keep you awake. Give
exactly.
you a little slap in the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
And then you have wonderful poppy seed cookies. You have just all kinds of great new things on the website all the time. So go on ilanaspantry.com to see where she's going to be. She'll be signing in Boulder. Boulder's her hometown, so she signs in Boulder. She might be coming to your hometown. Check on her website. She'll tell you that. She has cooking classes if you find yourself in Boulder, or and look and see if that sort of meshes for you. And then take a look at her cookbook, The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. It's breakfast, entrees, and more. I absolutely loved the chocolate chip cookies that come out of here, but there are all kinds of wonderful breakfast recipes, and we've just given them a short shrift, I think, the entrees. Just speak for a moment about the entrees. What do you have in here that you love?
I love the chicken parmesan, the salmon dill burgers, the kale cranberry tart is also delicious. The quiche, I have a couple of recipes for quiche, which are fabulous. And my favorite recipe in the entire book is the muesli bread.
Oh, wow.
That's a great, great smeared with goat cheese. I love that.
Thank you, Ilana. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thanks, Aileen.